Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Scientists up and down the East Coast are scrambling to understand a medical mystery, one affecting a beloved and iconic species, bottlenose dolphins. Dolphins have been dying at far higher numbers than usual this summer, with more than 120 dead dolphins reported from New York to Virginia. Last week, the National Marine Fisheries Service declared the deaths an unusual mortality event, meaning the federal government will now ratchet up its investigation of those deaths. Joining me to talk about this now is Scott Dance. He's a science reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So most of these dolphins have been found in New Jersey and Virginia, but there's been a few that are found here in Maryland. Is there any rhyme or reason to these locations and where these dolphins are being found and what that maybe can tell us about what this problem is?
Unfortunately, not yet. I mean, they are looking for patterns in, of course, in the tissue samples that they're taking. But yeah, I mean, I guess also in the locations of where they're finding the animals, the carcasses. And honestly, there's not a lot of answers yet. The largest number has definitely been in Virginia, if you look at the charts of state by state.
I look at that number, 120 or 100 to 120, and I wonder about how accurate that is because, I mean, obviously that's just the amount that they've found. I mean, the ocean is a very big place. Is it safe to assume that that number is actually a bit larger?
Yeah, that is what I've been told. Again, there's no, you know, definite way to tell what proportion of them are washing up on shores and what proportion we're just not coming across. So that's a pretty safe assumption that the dolphins travel in big groups, pods up and down the coast. They just follow the food source, which, you know, are just schools of fish that can go, you know, sometimes up the bay, sometimes up the coast. But there's no way to know for sure how many are out there.
Scott, tell me a little bit about what you've been finding in your reporting about why this is happening. I know scientists have a few ideas, and they're actually looking back to when this happened the last time, which was in the late 80s. Talk a little bit about what you've been finding and what they believe is the reasoning that this is happening.
In the late 80s, in this similar sort of region, the culprit was this disease, morbillivirus. It's sort of a measles-like virus, and it's found not just in dolphins, but other kinds of animals too. So that was, I guess, one sort of option they had to look into. And with the dolphins that have washed up, they collect tissue from them and they send them out for testing. And that process takes a while, but some of the early results they've gotten show that that same virus could be, again, to blame. But, you know, until they get more data, you know, they're not going to be that confident in what the cause is and whether there really is a common cause. Although, of course, with something like this, when the numbers get so high and so widespread, of course, it seems like there's probably a common thread. But so that morbillivirus is kind of the main suspicion, I think, right now. But there's also thoughts about, other possibilities, whether there's, you know, algae blooms that have somehow affected them. Of course, they don't eat the algae. They eat fish that eat the algae. So that can be, I think, a little more delayed than in other animals like manatees in the Gulf of Mexico, which, of course, do eat the algae. But, time will tell. With more data, more evidence will tell the story.
And if it is the virus-related sort of thing, is it a safe assumption that something toxic is in the water? And you know, have you found any evidence of that? I mean, because whenever we get a report of a large number of deaths in any species, you know, the first assumption is that, well, the water's toxic.
Yeah, well, I mean, people I've talked to at the Maryland Department of Natural Resources and the Maryland Department of the Environment show pretty, I think, safe levels of different, you know, algae blooms or other pollutants in the water. I mean, at least just nothing exceptional that would be a red flag to say, oh, this has got, you know, to have something to do with it. Basically, what I did hear from some more kind of wildlife experts was that these animals are exposed to toxicity all the time. They're eating fish that, you know, have high levels of heavy metals and other pollutants that can just build up in them. And so, this one expert I talked to described dolphins as some of the most toxic animals in the ecosystem just because they're exposed to so much of this. And that can make them a little bit more vulnerable to, disease or other things, you know, other causes of death that you might consider natural, but in something like this where they're weakened, the population overall is weakened by toxicity, it can have a big effect.
Scott, I was reading in a few of your reports that you were saying that there are other species like manatees or sea lions that have been dying in large numbers of late. Tell me a little bit about what's behind those deaths. And is there any indication that perhaps the reason why those species are perishing is similar to why the dolphins are perishing?
Again, yeah, it could be similar situations where just, yeah, different elements of human influence, you know, putting these toxic substances in the water are just, yeah, in different ways affecting the food chain, basically. In Florida, the manatees are, I think, being affected mostly by these algae blooms, the red tides in the Gulf of Mexico that have become, you know, an increasing problem down there. There's also a case around where the Deepwater Horizon oil spill happened that dolphins are dying off, and that one I think is still a little bit more of a mystery, partially because a lot of that is still in the courts, so a lot of the data hasn't come out publicly on what they're finding in terms of the effect the oil spill might have had on dolphins. And then with on the West Coast with sea lions, you know, I've heard some influences of you know, red tides and things like that, but also just a moving food supply that they're not able to react to quick enough, which, you know, could also have some sort of environmental influence on it, you know, that's causing the food, you know, these schools of fish or whatever they're eating to move somewhere else, and then having sort of an indirect effect on the sea lions. But yeah, I mean, it's just with all the runoff and other, you know, pollutants that are getting into the oceans, of course, it's going to have a lot of different, effects on these animals.
What's your feeling and what have you been told now that the federal government is ratcheting up its presence and its involvement in this? You know, when do you think we're going to get the next development or perhaps understand why this is all happening?
I think it could be a matter of months, just based on what the scientists have said about this testing and what they're learning, and it really seems to be not that much so far. I mean, with Virginia, since there's been so many cases, I guess that's where they've been able to get, you know, some data where they've said, okay, it looks like it might be this morbillivirus, but they're nowhere close to, you know, having a sound scientific explanation for this. So yeah, I mean, I think it'll be months. It sounds like it takes a long time to process this data. Also, in a lot of cases, when the carcasses wash up, they're so decomposed by the time they're found that they're not even useful to scientists for collecting data. So, you know, so not only will they, you know, will it take time to process the samples that they already have, but it could take a lot of time for, you know, more samples to be collected that are usable. In Maryland, the total that has been found so far is 7. And I guess I first wrote about this about a week or so ago, and I've been checking with them, and they haven't had any new cases since then. So perhaps it's slowing down, and then, you know, that would mean less samples and more time for an answer to come out. But yeah, I wouldn't expect one any time really soon.
Once they define what the problem is, let's say it is the virus that you mentioned, what do scientists do then? How do they fix the problem?
That's a good question. Because yeah, I mean, if they find that it's this virus, then, you know, technically that is sort of a naturally occurring disease that can, you know, like any disease, even with humans, can just have these epidemics, you know. So I'm not sure how they would contain it in the wild, since it's, you know, it's not obviously a contained situation. But I think it would probably all go back to the concerns about toxicity in the water and just an increased focus on, you know, trying to give these animals a clean environment to live in and make them less vulnerable to this, you know, to these sorts of epidemics in the future. You know, it's not like it's something where they can throw some antibiotics in the water or whatever. You know, it's like you can't treat all these dolphins if we don't even know how many are out there at any given time. So, yeah, I mean, I got to think the focus would be mostly on the environment.
We've been speaking with Scott Dance. He's a science reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Scott, thank you so much for joining me here on the program. All the best.
Thank you.
We turn now to Jennifer Dittmar, the stranding coordinator with the National Aquarium. Her job is to rescue dolphins and other animals in distress. She also does an annual count of dolphins off the Atlantic coast. Jennifer, welcome back to Coastal Connection.
Thanks so much.
So we've been talking about the unexplained deaths of more than 100 bottlenose dolphins from New York to Virginia in the past few months. How abnormal is this situation?
Well, for our area, we have, as you mentioned, seen die-offs like this before in 1987. So it's been about 25 years since we've had something like this. And this could be kind of a normal process as far as a population control measure goes. If you think about the stock of dolphins that was there for the 1987 event, we're going to pretty much have a fairly new stock of animals now that may or may not have resistance to certain bacterial and viral diseases that are in their natural environment. So this could be a perfectly natural population control measure, but we don't quite have a good handle on exactly what's going on yet. You know, all the necropsy reports aren't back. So this could be something unnatural. It could be something natural. So until we have a good handle on it, it is kind of scary knowing that that many dolphins are dying off. And, you know, we're working really hard to get an idea of what it is that's causing it.
You mentioned the 1987 die-off that was caused by a virus. What's the most common cause of dolphin death? Is it virus? Is it just accidentally being killed by fishermen? Is it toxins, you know, in the ocean and pollution?
Well, we do definitely see both human-related causes. Those are going to be the things such as ship strike injuries or entanglements in marine debris or fishing gear. But there are also those natural causes that may be due to, like you said, biotoxins, such as like a red tide event in Florida, or viruses or bacteria. So it kind of can be split between human-related and not human-related. And I'm not really sure the actual breakdown between the two, but we do see a fair number of human-related reasons.
I mentioned earlier that you are the stranding coordinator for the National Aquarium. Talk about some of the things that you do to nurse a species like the bottlenose dolphin back to health.
So we split stranding responsibility in the state of Maryland with the state. The Department of Natural Resources in Maryland responds to any dead strandings of marine mammals or sea turtles, and they'll post the necropsy, which is an animal autopsy, and write a necropsy report for it to try to determine cause of death. And then the National Aquarium responds to any live strandings. So for us, if we get a live stranded dolphin, we will go out and respond to it, triage the animal. We'll look for potential rehab space for it if it's a good rehab candidate. But unfortunately, cetacean rehab, which is going to be dolphin and whale, rehab is very limited along the Atlantic coast. Within our region, which is Maine through Virginia, there's only one facility, which is the Riverhead Foundation on Long Island, that actually has rehab capabilities at this time. So rehab is very limited, but we do our best with the situation as far as if the animal appears to be healthy and it may be a good candidate just to re-release it, we'll try that option. But unfortunately, a lot of times these animals expend a lot of energy stranding, and they oftentimes don't have a very successful release. If you try to re-release them, they end up just re-stranding. So oftentimes it sometimes doesn't have a very positive outcome, but we get as much information from the animal as we can through the necropsy. On a fresh animal like that, you can really learn a lot about overall health of the animal and get a really good handle on what their cause of death was.
Jennifer, explain to people what happens in the necropsy or the animal autopsy process to figure out exactly what happened. Give people a sense of time on how long scientists are going to be spending trying to figure out why we're seeing this recent die-off with dolphins.
So a full necropsy on a fresh carcass, one that they're going to get the most valuable information from, is going to take about 6 to 8 hours just for the actual necropsy itself. For an event like this, we have a unique sampling protocol on what we might be looking for to rule out for this unusual mortality event. It's going to start with an external exam, looking at all sorts of different measurements on the animal to try to determine the body condition and the age class. And then the internal exam is basically going to look at all of the organs. They're going to weigh the organs, take tissue samples from them, send them out to a bunch of different labs for analysis. So the whole process of the necropsy takes about 6 to 8 hours for a fresh carcass during an event like this. But the full report and results aren't necessarily going to be done for about 4 to 8 weeks after that, because you have to wait until you have all of the samples back that you sent out from all the different labs and really be able to kind of put all those key pieces together to try to determine cause of death.
Last month, you did your annual one-day count of the dolphins. Was the dolphin count any different?
Actually, our dolphin count this year was, we had what we would consider an average number of dolphins, but our previous 2 years had actually been much lower. We had only had about 30 to 50 dolphins counted the last 2 years, so that was a little lower than normal. But this year we had 113, which is very average for us to have on any given year. So while we were increased, it actually is more consistent with what we normally see. So we didn't see anything out of the ordinary. We saw lots of big groups of dolphins hanging out, some small juveniles, which is what we would tend to see this time of year. So things were really average for us during the dolphin count this year.
You know, obviously dolphins are one of the most beloved marine species out there, but you know, they're also good indicators of the health of our oceans because they tend to accumulate heavy metals and other toxins in their bodies. Do these deaths suggest that this is kind of telling us a broader story about the health of our oceans?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, marine mammals in general are great indicators of ocean health. Like you said, they're eating a lot of the same fish that we're eating, and they're living. Most of the species that we see commonly are going to be coastal species that are utilizing the same types of coastal habitat that a lot of humans use for recreation. So they're going to be really good indicators of ocean health. As for this particular event, it's still hard to tell exactly how that plays into this, but in general, you know, there's a whole one ocean, one health theory that NOAA is working on right now. And marine mammals are really at the top of that.
Whenever the scientific community is kind of, you know, puzzled by an event such as this, you know, it seems to get people up in arms that there might be something larger going on here.
Yeah, it's really hard to say at this time. There are a couple of animals that have been necropsied that have a couple of similarities between them, but overall, they're not seeing any general trends in, you know, all of the animals. So it's really hard to tell right now. We're going to have to see where it kind of plays out. They don't believe it's a human-induced event. They haven't seen, you know, consistencies in, like, fishing gear interactions between all these animals. So it is more likely more of a natural-type event, but we'll have to kind of stand by and wait and see once all these necropsy reports start rolling in and lab results to see exactly what's going on.
We've been speaking with Jennifer Dittmar. She's the stranding coordinator for the National Aquarium in Baltimore. Jennifer, always nice talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
To learn more about this unusual mortality event, click to our website, wamucoast.org. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland, and on WAMU 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Russo, and we'll be right back.